We are having a little series in Advent entitled Christmas for Real People, and today it is Christmas for Difficult Marriages. Gail Urban tells of a time when she went into her local Christian bookstore, and as she was browsing around, she happened upon a shelf of reduced-priced gift items. Among the gifts on the shelf was a little figurine of a man and a woman with their heads lovingly tilted towards one another. "Happy 10th anniversary," read the inscription. It appeared to be in perfect condition, yet the tag indicated damaged. On examining it even closer, Urban found another tag attached to it underneath which read, "Wife is coming unglued." Prophetic, isn't it? Certainly, that contrasts powerfully with a very moving speech by Ryan Sandberg when he was inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame. In his speech comes this moment when Sandberg's eyes are welling up and his lips begin to tremble. Sandberg went on to say that the induction to the Hall of Fame was the second best thing that had ever happened to him. He went on to say, "My wife Margaret is the best thing that has ever happened to me. Margaret is my best friend. She is the love of my life. She is my salvation. She is my past, my present, my future. She is my sun, my moon, my stars. She is everything good about life, and I thank her for entering my life at a time when I needed her most." Wow. So which experience best describes your marriage? The husband or wife becoming unglued, or the sentiments that Ryan Sandberg shared about his wife, Margaret? Over the course of 33 years or so of ministry, I've performed dozens of marriages. I cannot think of one couple who, when I first met them, didn't dream of a marriage like Ryan and Margaret Sandberg. All of them wanted that Hall of Fame marriage, not a survivor kind of marriage. The kind of marriage where your children and your grandchildren look at you and exclaim, "Dear God, let my marriage be like theirs." Maybe you are blessed to have a marriage like this, or perhaps you're still longing after many years for a connection in a marriage like this. Perhaps you no longer are interested in marriage because of all the tragedies that you have witnessed or heard about marriages. So maybe it's time that all of us met a couple who struggled to make a difficult marriage into something special. I know you've heard of them, but maybe you've never really thought about what their marriage was like. We cannot state for sure how Mary and Joseph's relationship began. It is possible, we like to think, that they fell in love, but actually more likely, given their culture and time, their families probably made a marriage arrangement between themselves. Either way, we just don't know how they became connected. By the time we meet this couple, things are already going wrong for them. Maybe that's the first lesson their story can teach us. As hard as it is to face reality, it is really important to admit that things are going badly. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about, Matthew reads. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. It's kind of like an engagement, but much more serious. But before they came together, Matthew continues, that means that it was before they had any sexual relationship. Mary was found with child, Matthew continues. Wow, it doesn't get any worse than that, does it? Nothing is harder on a marriage than the appearance or the reality of an infidelity. But if truth be told, most affairs are really only the end result of a relationship that's been going cold for a long time. It's scary, isn't it? But let us think about what are the little steps that move a relationship from better to worse. Humorist Dave Barry gives us a little lighthearted example of how this happens when he shares this little seasonally appropriate story. At this point, he says, in the Christmas season, your standard man has purchased zero gifts. He has not gotten around to purchasing an acceptable gift for his wife or even last Christmas. He did not give her anything last, he did give her something last year, but he could tell by her reaction to it that she was not dreaming of getting an auto emergency light, even though it was the deluxe model with booster cables and an air compressor. Clearly, he says, this gift violated some important rule, but the man has no idea what the rule is, and his wife's too upset to tell him. When I was a young pastor talking with couples going through some rough patches, I could never understand how stories like that fit into the collapse of something as wonderful as a marriage. I didn't get it. How could a couple go from lovingly gazing at each other at the altar to saying things like, whenever we're out with friends and I offer an opinion on something, she would just roll her eyes? Or how about this one? He has left me waiting on dinner so many times. Then I'd wonder to myself, you want to give up your marriage over rolled eyes and cold potatoes? Yes, they would say, and a million other annoyances. And now with some experience in life, I think I'm beginning to understand. Romance, it seems, grows by leaps and bounds at the beginning of a relationship, but it dies by little degrees, little steps of injury and disrespect over time. You know the things that seem so small, but over time create layers of scar tissue over our hearts? We start complaining about little things like dirty clothes on the floor, and then we criticize behavior, and eventually we outright condemn someone's worth. Such developments sweep in on us, making us defensive, resentful, distant, and eventually we just stop caring for the other person. On the outside, we give the impression to everyone else everything's okay. We get our chores done, like getting out our Christmas cards on time. We may even couple up in bed on occasion, but he or she is no longer our moon, our star, or our best friend. We could go on and ignore the reality of our pain, but like Mary's pregnancy, it just grows and grows right in front of us. It's your fault, Joseph may have wanted to say at some point. No, this thing is bigger than me, Joe, Mary might have answered. But sooner or later, as a couple, they had to admit that something in the original contract, the original vision of their lives, had changed. Have you ever faced the reality of what is going on in your own home? I pray that it's wonderful, but I fear that some of us who must wonder at certain times if we married badly, that this relationship is no longer what either of us intended it to be. So our first step in getting wholeness returned to our marriage is recognizing that something's wrong. The second thing is to realize that we do have options, you and I. Now, even Joseph had some options, didn't he? And he considered them very carefully. The most obvious option that many people choose, particularly today, is a very loud and very ugly, messy divorce. Joseph, according to the Jewish law code, could have easily divorced Mary, and in those days, all a man had to do was walk out of the house and go, "I divorce you, I divorce you, I divorce you," and they were divorced. In fact, in Matthew 5 says that God even allows divorce for such reasons as Mary's pregnancy. Joseph could have made a real scene out of this. He could have brought great disgrace upon Mary and then her family. He could have, out of his pain, created misery for everyone, including himself. However, another option was available to him. He could divorce her quietly. It takes a better man to do that, doesn't it? And the Bible says that Joseph was a righteous man. In other words, he was a man of character and he was aligned with God's purposes. Because he wanted to spare Mary the disgrace of a messy public divorce, he chose to end things quietly. Well, some couples do choose to end things amicably, to make the best of a bad situation. They look at each other and say, hey, things just didn't work out. We've tried, but let's end it now before we shred each other's dignity or hurt the children more than we already have. Some other couples try to hold on through the pain, maybe holding on until the children are a bit older. I heard it said once that some couples hold hands not because they're madly in love, but they are afraid that if they let go, they'd kill each other. Mary and Joseph could have just shut up and kept up appearances. You know, in a small village where they lived, that their family and friends were watching. How many people stay in a bad marriage, giving up hope that things will get better? Now, I say all of this to you not to beat up on anybody, but to lead us all to some hope. Especially some hope if we're living in a marriage more defined by the worse than by the better. And even if you just couldn't live in your marriage any longer for whatever reason, I want to tell you that the God we worship is the God of second chances and renewal and reconciliation. Even out of the ashes of destroyed hopes and dreams, God can bring something beautiful and wonderful. The Bible says, and Joseph had considered these options, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid. Well, that raises an interesting question in itself. How much of our relational breakdowns are caused by fear? The angel goes on, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Mary will give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save people from their sins. In other words, the angel is telling Joseph that the very circumstance that he fears will kill his relationship with Mary will actually be the beginning of his salvation. Wow. Is that even possible still? Is it possible that in the very midst of the death of our dreams and vision for our marriages, God can come and create a new beginning, can come and save us? The message from the angel is meant for us too. What is needed from us in the face of a difficult marriage is fresh faith and courageous obedience. Now I know I want you to understand what that looks like for us. Well, certainly it means we go to God in prayer regularly for our relationships. How long has it been since you asked God for his dream for your marriage? How long has it been since you prayed, Lord, give me again the reason why you brought us together? I know there was a purpose, Lord. I knew it once. Help me to see it again. Ask your spouse to pray the same prayer, maybe pray it together. Pray that God might give you supernaturally the love and respect that your partner craves, that person who once upon a time was the best thing that ever happened to you. Proverbs says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all ways acknowledge God and he will direct your paths. Why not ask God to do a miracle in your marriage? And finally, Proverbs also states, let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. Are you open to guidance? There's a lot of help out there for couples. There's books, there's conferences, there's marriage enrichment seminars, and of course there's couples therapy. God has given us so many resources to help us. Why not use them? Why not explore what good can come from our marriages? Anything and everything is possible with God. Just look at Mary and Joseph. Being a former Christmas tree grower, I appreciate a story told by Slats Grobnik, who sells Christmas trees in Chicago. He tells the story of one year when he met a couple who were on the hunt for that special tree. The man was skinny and his Adam's apple was very pronounced and he had a short receding chin. The girl was, I guess, kind of pretty, but the two of them wore ragged clothes that would have come from the bottom of the bin at the Salvation Army. They didn't have much money either. Finding most trees on the lot too expensive, the couple settled on a Scotch pine that was, well, okay on one side, but barren another. Then a bit further down, they found another one that was hardly any better, full on one side and bare on the other. The couple bought both rough-looking trees. A few days later, Slat was out walking in the street when he happened to go by a large picture window on the ground floor of a building, and he saw the most spectacular Christmas tree. He was shocked to see coming across the front of that window the same couple who bought those ugly trees from him. Well, curiosity got the best of him, and he went and he knocked on the door. He just had to know how they had managed to pick up this beautiful tree. They then told Slats that they did bring home the two trees he sold them, and that was what he saw in the window. They then proceeded to tell Slats that they had taken the two trees and worked them together into one. They shared how they brought the two sparse sides together, interlacing the branches, and how they bound the two trunks together with wire and overlaid the branches on each other, and they formed the tree so thick that you couldn't see the wires holding it together. "So that's the secret," said Slats. "You take two trees that aren't perfect, that might even be considered homely, that nobody else wants, but if you put them together just right, you can come up with something really beautiful." Do you think that's possible? That God can do something miraculously with a man and a woman, or two spouses willing to work in faith and obedience into the dream of God? Do you think that's still possible? The Gospels speak of a time when it apparently happened with real people. Mary said, "Let it be unto me according to thy word." And when Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took Mary into his own home. He had no union with her until she gave birth to a son. And he gave him the name Jesus. Jesus, the name of the Savior, who still takes two imperfect people and with grace, truth, and love binds them together to make something truly beautiful, something wholesome, and something that is one.